Listen, y'all, to know me is to know that I don't like spooky things or scary movies. I just don't watch them. I am of the same ilk that Oprah. If I watch them, some stuff is going to get in my soul that I can't get out, right? But today, I'm making an exception because guess what? We're talking about ghosts. But we're talking about ghosts of a good kind. The world premiere of the hit play Ghost Waltz opened at the Los Angeles Theater Center on May 4th. And having had the opportunity to see it, I can tell you that the only scary thing about this play is the truth of how important histories get washed over and washed away, making entire cultures of people invisible and obsolete, while other cultures are made to feel superior and dominant. Today, I am blessed to have in studio the playwright and a cast member from Ghost Waltz. And let me introduce them before we get into the heart of what Ghost Waltz is about. My first guest is a poet, an author, an essayist, a tenured professor at USC School of Dramatic Arts. He's a playwright as well. And he sang, y'all. He sang in undergrad at Cornell and in Oxford's choir. He has authored more than 30 plays, from his groundbreaking Blade to the Heat to its longest-awaited sequel, Members Only. Other produced plays include Blood Watch and Yerma. Yerma and the Desert. He is developing new plays currently with the Wallace and Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts in the Getty Villa. The world premiere, as I said a few moments ago, of his newest play, Ghost Waltz, opened on May the 4th. His name is Oliver Mayer, and I am pleased to have Oliver in studio with me today. Welcome to the backstory.
Oh, Michelle, I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm happy to have you. I can hardly hear him. Can we fix this mic? Thank you. My other guest is Montreal Bourne, LA-based musician, composer, producer, accordionist, music director, and middle child. We share that together. Who comes from a music family of Haitian descent. He has performed with Montreal Symphony Orchestra. He was cast in Motown Generation, the most successful Motown music review ever produced in Canada. He has toured and still tours with Madonna. He serves as the lead of his band, Parlor Social, alongside his beautiful, talented wife, singer-songwriter, Desi. Tell me Desi's last
DeLauro.
Name. DeLauro. I don't want to mess that up. Together, they have designed a new and unique genre of original music, which we will hear some of, that they call Speakeasy Soul Prohibition Funk, which seamlessly blends the styles of 1920s, 30s Harlem Renaissance jazz with today's contemporary urban sounds. He has performed for millions around the world on the most iconic stages with the biggest music legends. His name is Ricky Pazzo.
Pajot.
I knew I was going to mess that up. We've been rehearsing this. Y'all wouldn't believe it. We've been rehearsing this.
You still said it with love.
Yeah, I did. Thank you so much, Oliver, for that. And I'm delighted to have Ricky with me today in studio.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Absolutely. Listen, I am so grateful for the two of you being here again with me. I had the chance, as I said last night, to see Ghost Waltz, and it was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. I want to start, though, with, let's start with you, Oliver. Talk about where you were born and raised and when you started with this notion of, I want to use my voice, my thoughts, my gifts to tell stories.
That's a beautiful question. I'm born in L.A., born in Hollywood. Bred here, worked here, loved it here, came back here. I went off, I did a bunch of things, lived in England, lived in New York, but I miss my people here. I feel like I got my umbilical cord up in the hills somewhere, and I should be here. These are my people. And but I know how it works, how the world works. I mean, we're from all over. You know, our bloodlines, you don't need 23andMe to tell you that. I realized pretty early on that I was kind of a hybrid. I love music, but I love writing. I like to work with people, for better for worse. I mean, actors, I married an actor, make me crazy. I love them the most. And so the the theater is the place for me. And I've been writing now since I was 19, and I just turned 59.
Wow.
So I've been writing pretty much all that time. But I loved how you set us up this with this talk talking about ghosts, but they're the good ghosts.
Yes.
They're our ancestors.
Yes.
They're looking down on us, and they want the best for us.
Yes.
And I feel, whether you're an artist or not, that you got the good ghosts looking out for you, and this play is about that.
Amen. And I want to talk about just the ancestors looking out for us, because you did that in such a beautiful way throughout the play, and it made it hit home for us, the reality that they are there. They're always speaking to us, whether we want to listen or not, because sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. And it made me think about Maya Angelou, who talks about whenever she stood, she never stood as an individual. She always stood knowing that she had the power and the presence of all of her ancestors with her. So thank you for that beautiful illustration, and we'll dig more into that. Mr. Ricky, so you were born into, let me just shake your hand, because from one middle child to another, look, we don't have it easy, right? Yeah. We have to figure this thing out on for life for ourselves in a whole different way, right? But you were born into a musical family.
Yes.
In Montreal, Canada.
Yes.
What did that feel like? Tell us about that.
Well, okay, going back to that middle child thing, what's crazy is that I never felt like a middle child until probably my adulthood, because the age difference between my big brother and myself is 6 years, and then between me and my little brother is 12 years.
Oh, wow.
So by the time my little brother was born, my big brother was already out the house.
Okay.
So I was either a little brother or I was a big brother.
Got you.
So I never really felt like a middle child.
Well, I felt it. Listen, I'm in between two sisters. My older sister's 2 years older than me, and my youngest sister is 2 years younger than me. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, I felt it.
Oh, yeah.
You bookended.
Bookended tightly.
But there was always music in the house. My dad plays the bass. He's still alive, still, you know, touring.
Amen.
My big brother plays the flute, producer as well. He's worked with Aretha Franklin, Bone Thugs and Harmony, a whole bunch of people. And my little brother also, he plays the drums as well. So we have a whole, like, full-on band.
Wow.
And again, growing up, we didn't play a live gig together, all of us family together, until maybe 2018, 2019.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because again, my big brother moved out, I moved out, and then, yeah, so it was a little crazy. But yeah, music has always been a central part of our family.
Amen. Amen. Now, did you feel inclined, did you feel kind of forced to do music because it was such a big part of your family?
At times,
did it just kind of come natural?
At times. You kind of feel the pressure of our dad, you know, really like, when was the last time you practiced? That type of thing. But we always had the love for it.
Yeah.
So I started playing classical piano at the age of 8.
Yeah.
Studied it through college. And then when I got to college, that's when I kind of started, you know, official jazz lessons, piano jazz lessons.
Okay.
And then graduated from McGill University.
Okay. Awesome. So listen, his name is Ricky. I'm not even touching that last name.
Peugeot.
You when I say Ricky, you just complete it. There we go. We're going to do that. And my other guest is Oliver Mayer. He is the playwright for the hit play Ghost Waltz. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Stay tuned for more of The Backstory. The Backstory. With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Ooh, I'm so ready for this weekend away with my girls.
Hey, hit the road. How about some free gas?
Free gas? How?
Try new Febreze car for some serious freshness, and you can win gas for a full year. Visit Febreze.com to learn more.
Say less.
You may not win, but you're going to have a fresh-smelling whip.
Thanks, DJ Fresh. Now how about some music?
Hey, yo, this next one goes out to new Febreze car for giving you a chance to win free gas.
La, 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 la.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to enter in 73124. For rules and how to enter, visit Febreze.com.
You're listening to KBLA Talk 1580, where climate is king.
Climate is king.
Climate is king.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Oh. sorry, y'all. I was in here talking to my guests off the air, and this is Mache Duffy from The Backstory. You are listening to KBLA Talk 1580, and we are talking about the hit play Ghost Waltz. I am so excited to have in studio with me the playwright for Ghost Waltz. His name is Oliver Mayer, and one of the cast members, Ricky
Peugeot.
I could never say that like you say that, Ricky. But listen, y'all, we are just getting started talking about this play and the beauty of the play. I would have you, Oliver, if you could just share with our audience the synopsis of the play. What is, I can tell you what I took from it, but I want you to tell us when you wrote it, what was your intention? What is the play about?
This is a play about a real person. His name was Juventino Rosas. He wrote maybe the most famous piece of his generation, maybe one of the most famous pieces ever. But he has been forgotten by time and certainly kind of erased, whitewashed from people's memories. And I think there are historical reasons why that has happened. Mm-hmm. He was Mexican Indian. He was a young person, indigenous Mexican Otomi. He rubbed shoulders with the best people of his moment, of all colors. But in this play, Scott Joplin, played by Ricky, and we're bringing him back to life. We are trying to efface some of that whitewash and let the image ghost through of who he really was, who he really loved, how he lived, what his dreams were. And honestly, when I found this play, when I got the commission for this play and I was thinking about it, I had a dream. And I woke up in the morning, and basically the first minute of the play that you saw last night was my dream.
Really?
And once I had that down, which I wrote just when I woke up, I just wrote it and showed my wife. Since then, I just moved that dream forward. And I just tried to imagine this person's life as if he was sitting next to me the way you are, Mache, and just trying to let him be himself.
Wow. Now, from the time you had the dream, how long did it take you from the time you had the dream to start writing?
I wrote pretty quickly after I had the dream.
Really?
But it's taken 2 years to get to the point we're at now. So I got a commission to write a play. The idea actually was an idea that the theater had. And I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. I like historical pieces. But it didn't speak to me yet until this image came to me of Juventino dancing with music flowing, with waves of people coming and going. And I saw him in his indigenous self. I saw him with his huaraches, his sandals on, and trying to dance the waltz. And I said, oh boy, I think I got to follow this. I don't know where it's going, but I do know that it has something to do with me. I'm Mexican-American. And my indigenous side is something I've never very much explored.
Wow.
But because I had gave myself to Juventino, I was able to do that. And then one way to try to understand people, particularly when biographies are not really available, this is a period before biographies, the 1890s, and people like us didn't get biographies then. So then you have to kind of extrapolate what you can get. The music, how does the music make you feel?
Yeah.
Where does the music take you? And how can you compare a life like his with some other lives? And that's how I realized, oh, Scott Joplin, the greatest, the king of ragtime, was the same age as Juventino.
Wow.
And they were in Chicago at the same time. We don't know that they met, but in my play, they got to meet.
Well, you met, they did. And you did, you know, you did a really great job. Was there, well, before I go there, I want to say this. One of Tavis Smiley's guests said this week on air that she believes dreams are a blueprint for our lives. And if we pay attention to them, we'll get right to where God wants us to go. And your comment just made me think about that. From your dream and you starting to write, when did you know what director you wanted to bring on board?
This was a gift.
Directors and writers.
Talk about
important.
Gifts from God.
Yeah.
And I got that with Alberto Barbosa, of someone I had never met before.
Mm.
And the producing director of the theater put us together. And I immediately was taken with, because he's not a kid.
Yeah.
He's closer to my age than Ricky's. He's younger than me, but he's in his 50s. And he's an indigenous man, well-educated, deeply, deeply committed to the arts, quietly, I don't know, powerful. Maybe Ricky can talk about what it's like to work with him. He never raises his voice, but I've never seen anybody work harder. And he took every minute that we had, which was just enough to get it to the point you saw. He took every minute and made it a positive minute.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Go ahead, Ricky. Tell us about your experience working with the director.
I mean, it's for me as a first-time actor.
This is your first acting role?
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yep.
Who would have known?
Thank you.
You did an amazing job.
Thank you. Appreciate
okay,
that.
So were you afraid?
At first, when I got the call, my biggest concern was, how am I going to remember lines?
Right, because that's what I always say, right? I always tell people I admire actors and their ability to remember lines. Yeah. So talk to us about your first
experience. I kind of approached it like music. I mean, the more you repeat something, the more it records in your brain.
Uh-huh.
But what I did, my first experience was the first 2 days of reading, mm-hmm. I recorded the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just playing that in the car over and over and over and over again. So that's one way that helped me memorize the script.
Now, did you audition, like an agent had you audition
for
the script?
No, I got a call because the musical director is a friend of mine, Alberto Lopez. He's a friend of mine from like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
We don't speak much together, but we're always connected some way, somehow.
Wow.
And then Alberto Barbosa, the director, asked the other Alberto, the MD, who should we call to play Scott Joplin?
Stop it.
And he just immediately said, call Ricky. Which is why, you know, the music that we create, Neo Ragtime,
mm-hmm.
you know, that all comes in line. Because
for sure.
That's my lane.
That's the setting, right?
That's
of
my
the little
lane.
Bar, the little lounge that we're in at the play.
Yeah. So it's all, you know, very very serendipitous because
indeed.
To play Scott Joplin, that's an amazing character to play. He's an American hero. So so to go back to working with the director, Alberto, it's just he was so open to ideas because I was researching Scott Joplin, like trying to find videos and whatever. And I didn't find any. So when I said, okay, I didn't have really much to like work with to analyze his character,
yeah.
analyze his, you know, I was like, well, this is actually an opportunity for me to kind of create one. You know what I'm saying? So
and bring the musician that you are to life.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, okay, well let me kind of make it my own. And both Oliver and Alberto, they just let me fly. They just let me do my thing.
Okay, so you have messed me just all the way up. I just need you to know, because of all the parts of the conversation I thought we were going to have today, this was not one of them, because, you know, we know here in Hollywood, you need an agent, you need a manager, and you need credits. And that's how ideally it happens for people, right?
Yeah.
But for you to have your first acting gig be something that you didn't even seek out, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, that it be something that you could own and bring to it your life story. Like, that's who you are.
Yeah.
You are a musician. You're a pianist.
Yes.
You write music. You love music.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, since you were 8 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've studied music. And for that to be your first role, that is so God.
But I kind of want to say it's the power of attraction, too.
Yes.
Because I've always wanted to act. I didn't know how it was
going
to happen. I didn't know how it was going to happen. My mom always, as a kid, she always told me, you should be an actor, because I was acting a fool when I was a kid. She's like, you need to be an actor.
Uh-huh.
Her favorite, just a little anecdote, her favorite thing that I used to do was like my drunken, you know, my drunken voice. And
uh-huh.
all that. She laughed all the time.
Really?
I mean, she rest in peace. She passed in 09, so I always think of her every time I hit the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was with you talking about ancestors being with us,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
I'm sure she was. That is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say this. Nobody would have known that was your first time acting.
Thank you. I take it very seriously because I know how much work they've put in
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of deal with my schedule, I was still on tour during rehearsals.
Mm.
So I kind of, you know, I really felt bad leaving rehearsals and having to go commit to my prior commitment. So I was making sure I was still practicing the music and going through my lines while I was on tour.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be the one to, like, you know, compromise the play.
Yeah. So, Oliver, were you nervous to have a first-time actor?
I was not nervous.
Uh-huh.
I felt I felt like I was in good hands.
Because you were trusting Alberto's perspective and expertise as well.
It's true. Also, I always wrote this with the idea that if I'm writing about musicians, they need to be able to play, mm-hmm. but they need to be able to do the play too, mm-hmm. and I could find them. Even if I couldn't find a lot of them, mm-hmm. I could find enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we found just enough to do it, wow. because the lead is, as you saw, mm-hmm. a violin virtuoso. He walks around with that violin the whole time, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yes,
and
he does.
He's playing constantly. And then we have a world-class soprano, and she really is. I mean, ooh, she lives in Vienna.
When that
she's,
voice.
And she's from the Dominican Republic. She's indigenous and gorgeous, as you can see.
Yes.
And sings with the very best in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's the reason we can't extend. People need to see us now, because she has to sing at Belvedere Castle in Vienna on June 8th. And it's a big deal, like a world international big deal.
Yes.
So we have to end on the 2nd.
And God blessed you with all of these amazing people.
I just felt that we were doing this for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, when you do things for the right reasons, good things come.
That's
the universe conspires
100%.
To assist you.
100%.
Yeah.
That's what I felt.
100%. Absolutely. 100%. Listen, you all, I am so enjoying this conversation, and I hope you are too. When we come forward, more with my conversation with playwright Oliver Mayer and one of the cast members, Ricky.
Peugeot.
And we're talking about the play Ghost Walls. I love these guys. I'm so grateful to have you all here in our presence. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this. Listen and learn, or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock. Around the clock. Around the clock. KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wayne. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. President Biden and his administration are moving forward with a proposal to reclassify marijuana. The Department of Justice issued a notice of proposed rulemaking Thursday to reclassify marijuana to a less restrictive category. The change reflects a major shift in cannabis policy across the country, as dozens of states over the last decade have legalized recreational marijuana. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart says tens of thousands of people in the county are holding guns they should not have. He says more than 39,000 people have had their firearm owner's identification cards revoked, and such things as mental health issues and violating orders of protection. Dart formed a gun team in 2013 that has confiscated 1,500 weapons. Vice President Kamala Harris has made a stop in Milwaukee. She was in town for an economic opportunity tour. Harris spoke to a crowd of over 300 people at Discovery World. This was her fourth trip to the battleground state of Wisconsin this year. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wayne on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Hey, it's Dean Sharp. Great news. Sunlux has the all-new Tesla Powerwall 3 in stock. It's ready and waiting for you when you go solar with Sunlux. Learn more at sunlux.com, sunlux.com.
Hi, it's Tavis Smiley. First, thank you for your support of KBLA Talk 1580. We deeply appreciate you. So, I get asked all the time, Tavis, when are you going to bring back that State of the Black Union symposium you used to do? You know the one where you had all those black intellectuals on stage every year and everybody watched all day live on C-SPAN? Yeah, I know the one.
Let's bring them back.
Well, I am pleased to tell you that if you go to KBLA1580.com right now, you can sign up to be in the audience here in Los Angeles when we go back live on C-SPAN with a stage full of black thinkers and influencers for a historic conversation. America has never seen a stage full of black folk talking about the urgency of now. Climate justice, climate equity, climate resilience. It's going down Tuesday, June 18th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the California Science Center in Exposition Park. Admission is free, but you must register at KBLA1580.com. Once we reach capacity, you'll have to watch us on C-SPAN. But if you want to be in the room when we go live from Los Angeles Tuesday, June 18th, head to KBLA1580.com right now to reserve your seat. Caring about the climate, caring about the community. With KBLA Talk 1580, we've got your black.
I'm a leap up there. Hey!
KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Stay Housed LA has the resources you need to know your rights and the legal support to back them up. The COVID-19 pandemic has cost people their jobs and livelihoods. This has left an estimated one-third of households not being able to make rent and facing losing their homes. This is a fear no one in our community should have to face. You have rights, though, and Stay Housed LA is here to help. Stay Housed LA is a partnership between the County of Los Angeles, the City of Los Angeles, and local community and legal service providers. Together, they provide tenants with the information and support needed to exercise their rights so they can remain safely in their homes. Find out more about your rights by participating in a virtual tenant workshop. Get the legal assistance you need. Find additional resources in Los Angeles County and the City of Los Angeles. Stay connected to Stay Housed LA County for updates. This and more at stayhousedla.org. Stay connected to Stay Housed LA for updates. This and more at stayhousedla.org. That's stayhousedla.org. Or call their hotline at 213-694-0040. We've got your black with a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
The thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it hurts to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. Only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection. All-day comfort and protection for under $5 a month. Based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price, however, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes ACOM.
KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 reminding you that we keep us safe. Pro Football Hall of Famer and urban peace pioneer Jim Brown believed in just that, so he founded the AmeriICAN Foundation for Social Change in 1988, focusing on at-risk and high-risk youth in underserved schools and juvenile detention facilities, as well as adult incarceration and reentry initiatives. The core of the AmeriICAN program is its 15-chapter life skills curriculum. Mastery of these skills allows individuals to meet their academic potential, conform their behavior to acceptable societal standards, and improve the quality of their lives by equipping them with what they need to confidently and successfully contribute to society. Today, the foundation is led by its president, Monique Brown, who has been actively involved in the organization for more than 25 years. The AmeriICAN Foundation continues its work in memory of its founder, actor, philanthropist, and NFL legend, Jim Brown. To get involved or make a donation, please visit AmeriICANCommunity.partners. That's AmeriICANCommunity.partners. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Heard any other talk radio lately that sounds anything like this?
We didn't think so.
You're listening to Unapologetically Progressive KBLA Talk 1580.
Okay, it is good, and it's only going to get gooder. I am having the most amazing time in this studio with these two amazing people. This is why I love conversations so much. I told them I feel like crying. They are just changing my whole world. That's why it's so nice to meet people. You know, you just never know what can come out of a conversation. I am Mache Duffy. In case you're just joining us, I am in studio right now with Mr. Oliver Mayer, who is the playwright of the new play, Ghost Waltz. And I also have in studio one of the cast members. He plays Scott Joplin. His name is Ricky.
Peugeot.
And Ricky... y'all not ready for this. Ricky was just telling us how this was his first acting gig and how he knew from a little boy that he wanted to be an actor but did not know how it was going to happen. And Ricky is in another world. Ricky is a musician. Ricky has a rich history in music and writing music. And he and his wife have a beautiful, beautiful band. We're going to talk about that. But his first acting role, he is playing a musician. Only God could orchestrate something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we were just talking about how important it is to just go through the doors that the universe is opening up for you and how you just have to say yes. And even for Oliver and getting the call and the commission to do this play and having the dream and writing the script, all of it is so serendipitous and all of it is just a reminder that God is always up to something. Even when you don't think God is up to something, even when you think God has forgotten about you and forgotten about the desires of your heart, He has not. And that's what this conversation is a reminder of for me today. And I hope that those of you who are listening will take away from our conversation that there is a place even for you. There's a place for your gifts. There's a place for your talents. And in using them, we make the world a better place. Because when we talk about this play, Making the World a Better Place, Oliver, you do a great job of reminding us that there is no place for washing away people. There is no place for dismissing history. You know, we see it so prevalent in our world, even now with black folk and all of our books that have been banned and all of the history that Republicans are trying for people not to hear.
Yeah.
And if the stories are going to be told, we have to take ownership of telling them. So why was it, again, important for you to remind us of that?
The way I looked at it and look at my work is I often write about history, but I write about it so that we can learn from it now. There's no reason to tell something about something happened before unless you want to do something better now. So I look at the world we're living in, all the beautiful things that are happening, but all of the troubles everywhere you look. And I just know we can do better. But that in a certain way, we have to be led a little bit. We have to be led by the experiences, again, of our forebears, our ancestors, what they went through. Mm-hmm. And it helps us understand that we got to do better together.
Yeah.
So indeed, this story was one where I treated it almost like an archaeological dig. I put my arms into the ground, and rather than pulling something up or yanking it up, I tried to do it with love and caring and keep it together as best I could and then raise it up for everyone to see that these bones, this gold that I found underneath belongs to us. And indeed, maybe our better selves, we can realize, you know, it will happen again unless we take care of our brothers and sisters, unless we take care of those around us and we celebrate what they do and give them their flowers, that this can happen again.
And Ricky, what made you want to be a part of the celebration? What made you compelled to be a part of this story?
It's pretty much in alignment with what I'm doing right now as a musician. I studied classical music for over 10 years as a kid. And I wasn't told once about black composers, the contribution of black composers in music, which is what I've been doing since, you know, pre-pandemic, actually post-pandemic. During the pandemic, I was researching a lot and practicing a lot, learning a lot of the music written by black composers. And then post-pandemic, I've been releasing it.
Amen.
And I feel like, again, it's, you know, it's that work of paying homage to our ancestors, because if it were not for them, I wouldn't be where I am today. So this play really touched me as to where the essence of the play is paying homage to our ancestors, you know, paying homage to the people who didn't get credit for, you know, their credit due.
Yeah.
So as a black person, you know, even in the, for the audience, it's very relatable. Even though he was a Mexican indigenous violinist, it's very relatable to our people as well.
It is.
Because we have a lot, like you said, you know, we're in a time where the government's trying to erase or not even, you know, want to talk about our history.
Yeah, so, just throw it out. Just throw it in the
trash can. Exactly, just ignore it. Yeah. So sometimes, a lot of the times, we got to turn to the art, you know, to the arts to kind of like, you know.
This is a political play. Tell that story. It's a political play, even though I think it's an entertainment. Mm-hmm. You would agree you saw it last night.
Absolutely.
It's really, really fun and enjoyable.
But it's so
politics.
Informative. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most powerful aspects of the play that I thoroughly enjoyed was the very end when Nightingale came out of that dress, and underneath was the her nationality, the clothing of her nationality, and her just owning that. I thought that that was just
very
so powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. So yeah, when you talk about it being political and educational and entertaining, it's all of those things in one, and you definitely leave feeling like you learned something.
And you want to keep learning more. You want to
do
some more research.
You do.
About it too.
You definitely. I want to segue that into, let's talk about music and the relationship between love and music, and the relationship between, as you all talk about, it's between the lines. We hear that several times in the play. Tell me about the relationship between love and music, and then let's talk about what's between the lines.
I mean, it's a very interesting dynamic between, you know, this little triangle, love triangle we have going on between Juventino, Scott Joplin, and the Nightingale.
Yes.
So it's a very interesting dynamic. It's very dramatic, and it could get funny too, and dramatic. So it's definitely.
I didn't know who she was going to choose. I was like, "Who's she going to choose?"
And it kind of, you know, kind of goes left at a certain point. We're not going to, you know, say what happens.
We can't tell y'all. Y'all got to go see it.
But it's very unpredictable, which is really cool about this play. So love has a lot to do with the music, the love of music, and the love of sharing the music and performing with one another. You know, Juventino performs with Nightingale. I perform, you know, Scott Joplin performs with Nightingale, and also Scott Joplin performs with Juventino.
Yes.
So there's all these little capsules, these little moments in the play where we all get to share a nice moment, musical moment with one another.
Amen.
I can't speak for everyone listening now, but when I met my wife, I mean, I heard music.
Mm.
And when we started going out, one way, she could probably, if she's listening right now, she'd agree, one way I got her was with some really good songs.
Really?
Now, I didn't write them. I just happened to have all these great songs.
That's your love language.
That's your love language. And it stays that way. And that's one way that we keep it good day by day. And it's one way I remember who I am and who I am because of who I love and who loves me.
Mm-hmm. And music is really the soundtrack of our lives. It really is. It's just always playing in the background. It saves us. It heals us. It lifts us. It frees us. It inspires us. It has the ability to do so much.
It's so powerful.
Yeah. And I love, one of my most beautiful experiences with music is when I hear a song and I am transported right back to the moment where something special happened while I heard that song. And just, whether it was a dance or with somebody or I'm at a birthday party, whatever it is, it transports you right back to that moment. So,
That's what, you know, I was talking about. My wife is a singer.
Okay. Beautiful singer. We're going to hear some of her coming up.
Yeah. And this is a discussion we have all the time. Like, how come the current generation can never relate? Well, the past generation can never relate to the current generation's music.
Mm.
I said it's not about the music. It's about the memory that the music created for you.
Yeah.
So that's why whenever an old school song comes up, you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that, because it brings back memories.
For sure.
It's not really about the song. It's about the memory of when you were listening to
Who
you were with,
100%.
Where you were, you know, how much fun you had or how much sadness you have, or whatever the case is.
Indeed. I know when you talk about like the Whispers, Earth, Wind & Fire, OJ's, those songs, my mom and dad every weekend used to have about 10 or 15 of their friends over to the house, and they just talked and partied and played all night long. And these songs were just piping through the house,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And Gladys Knight for me,
Gladys Knight, all of it, right? And so when I hear those songs, immediately I remember those weekends with all of them. And listen, we would get up on Sunday or Saturday morning, and my sisters and I would be walking over people's bodies because they were just stretched out in the floor. But it was a beautiful thing, and I will go to my grave just remembering that and that connection to music that they introduced us to with their gatherings. Listen, this is the backstory. I am Mache Duffy. You're listening to KBLA Talk 1580.
Say the quiet part out loud. KBLA Talk 1580.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Environmental justice is racial justice.
Environmental justice is social justice.
This is KBLA Talk 1580. KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 believes in community empowerment through the arts. Dia Chucha Central Cultural is on a mission to transform community in the Northeast San Fernando Valley and beyond through ancestral knowledge, the arts, literacy, and creative engagement. The Northeast San Fernando Valley has a population of about 500,000, the size of the city of Oakland, yet it has no bookstores, art galleries, or full-fledged cultural spaces until Tia Chucha's opened its doors in 2001. Founded by renowned poet and activist Luis Rodriguez, Tia Chucha's Cultural Center provides a year-round free or low-cost arts and literacy, bilingual, intergenerational programming in mural painting, music, dance, writing, visual arts, healing art sessions, and healing talking circles. Activities also include Mexica, Aztec dance, indigenous cosmology, philosophy, and two weekly open mic nights, one in Spanish, the other in English. In addition, they host author readings, film screenings, and art exhibits. To express yourself, heal yourself, attend an event, or volunteer, please visit www.tiachucha.org. That's TIACHUCHA.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
We asked seniors how to prevent Medicare scams.
My best advice, if you get a phone call, do not talk to the person. These people are well-trained. Don't talk to them.
They don't know me. They're just trying to scam me.
Don't be fooled. Hang up.
Just hang up.
Never give out your Medicare number.
They're going to get your number to put in a false claim.
If I get a call from someone, I don't pick up the phone. And should I pick up the phone and they ask for information, then I hang up.
How do you detect Medicare fraud?
Just like I check my credit card statements, I check my Medicare statements monthly.
Scammers can get a hold of your number, order medical devices through your account, and you're not even going to know about it if you don't look at your statement.
Check your statement every month.
If you get your statement and you see something that you know you did not have done, you report it.
Call your senior Medicare patrol. To report Medicare fraud, call the Senior Medicare Patrol at 855-613-7080.
Ooh, I'm so ready for this weekend away with my girls.
Hey, hitting the road, how about some free gas?
Free gas? How?
Try new Febreze car for some serious freshness and you can win gas for a full year. Visit Febreze.com to learn more.
Say less.
You may not win, but you're gonna have a fresh smelling whip.
Thanks, DJ Fresh. Now how about some music?
Hey, yo, this next one goes out to new Febreze car for giving you a chance to win free gas.
La, 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 la. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to enter. In 731-24 for rules and how to enter, visit Febreze.com.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Okay, listen, I love y'all, but here's the thing. You all are missing out on some of the most magnificent conversation. We are having a ball in here. I am Mache Duffy, and I have the wonderful, wonderful pleasure of being in conversation with two amazing gentlemen. One is the playwright, Mr. Oliver Mayer of the hit play Ghost Waltz, and a cast member, Ricky.
Peugeot.
And we are, that's our deal. We got a deal going on in here because I don't want to mess up his last name. But we've been having a beautiful conversation. I want to hasten to this. We've been talking about Ghost Waltz. You all have got to get to see the play. It's amazing. It runs through June the 4th, right?
June 2nd.
Sunday, June 2nd. But here's what I want to do now. I want to pivot and talk about, I need Ricky to, time just goes so fast. I need Ricky to give me 2 minutes, Ricky, of this amazing story. Mm-hmm. As you all heard, Ricky's first acting opportunity was right here in Ghost Waltz. But you got to hear about his second acting opportunity because it is unbelievable. Go ahead. Tell us.
So in the middle of rehearsals for Ghost Waltz last month, I get a phone call from Spike Lee's score writer. They wanted me to record piano for Spike Lee's new movie, Highs and Lows, featuring starring Denzel Washington. I was only supposed to play piano, and someone else was going to mimic my playing.
Yes.
This is Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, Easter, 9 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from Spike himself. Ricky, Spike. Like, oh, my God. And I knew it was him because it was a New York number that, yes, that popped up. It's like, you took me to Baptist Church in Harlem on Easter Sunday morning, because it's a blues song. It's, uh-huh, a gospel blues song that I'm playing, that I recorded. He's like, I want you to be in the movie.
Oh, God.
I was like, sure. But in my mind, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to tell Oliver and Alberto that I have to leave again.
Wow.
Leave rehearsals. Mm. So a week later, so obviously they gave me, they gave me their blessings. A week later, I'm in New York. Shooting this scene, and who walks in? It's Denzel Washington.
Wow.
And he's already in character. So I didn't even get a chance to say hi or anything like that. He's already in character, ready to shoot. So I wasn't supposed to have any lines in this part, this movie.
Yes.
So as we're like shooting these different, shooting the scene, he's improvising. And then next thing you know, he's like engaging with me. I was like, oh my God. In my head, I'm like, oh, my God, what am I supposed to say? And so I kind of like nodded or whatever. And then Spike comes back and tells me, it's all good. You can engage. You could talk. It's all good. Because I know that's a whole other contract.
Yes.
If you talk in a movie, then now you're a principal. You're okay. Not just an extra.
Wow.
So, So from that moving forward, I actually have a speaking part with a scene with Denzel Washington, and I'm performing piano live in the movie.
Yeah.
Because Spike wanted to record live, not what we did in studio. He wanted to make sure that it was organic live.
Y'all, you can't make this stuff up. I keep telling them I want to cry. I got goosebumps. I'm having so many emotions in here. Ricky went from his first acting gig in Ghost Waltz to his first feature film with Denzel and Spike Lee. And only God could do that.
Yep.
And it's so beautiful that he did that for you.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful of you, Oliver, to let him go and do that.
I remember when it happened. We said, he got to go. We'll just, we'll take care of it on the
yes.
other end.
Y'all, dreams do come true.
Yes, they do.
And you have to be present in your life and know that whatever is for you will find you. And when it finds you, you got to say yes. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to say yes to letting you all listen to some of Ricky's amazing music. He is a musician. His wife is a musician. She is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous and beautiful and talented. And y'all got to go on YouTube and look for these two videos. The first song we're going to hear is Let Me Hear You Say. And then the second song is Jumpin' Jive. So let's go, Kamal, with Let Me Hear You Say.
Hep, hep.
Hep, hep.
And if you feel good, let me hear you say. And if you're feeling good, let me hear you say. And if it's all good, let me hear you say. And if it feels good, let me hear you say. I'ma send it off in this place you see. They come from every corner just to fight it with me. In your head like a symphony. Out on the floor, it's a jamboree. Turn up excessively. Drop the belt down, come as ought to be. Hold on, put it on repeat. Come on now, drop the beat.
Play the whole thing, but I can't because guess what? I gotta let y'all hear the next one. The next one is called Jump and Jive. Go, come on. Now y'all got to go back and get the rest of them for yourself. His band is, he and his wife's band is called Polar Social.
Parlor Social.
And they play all over. You can hear them at many jazz festivals across the country, even at the Hollywood Bowl. Again, thank you both so much. I love you both so much.
We love you, too.
It's been a joy. It has been an absolute joy.
You made my day.
Amen. The ghost, you have made mine. The play is called Ghost Waltz. Oliver Mayer is the playwright. Ricky
Pajot
is the cast member who plays Scott Joplin. And you all have got to see it. Where are we seeing it again?
It's at the LA Theater Center, 514 South Spring Street. And it is playing Thursdays through Sundays through June 2nd. And it's really, really affordable for the
it
kind
is.
Of quality that yeah. you're going to get.
Absolutely. Yes. Up next, Cafe Mocha with Yo-Yo Lonnie Love and Angelique Parent. Until next week, stay grateful, stay safe, stay kind. Lots of love.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.